Hello and welcome to Professional Christian Coaching Today. I'm Chris McCluskey.
And I'm Kim Avery.
Join us in raising the standard of coaching and changing the world. The medical field has undergone an incredible amount of upheaval and transition and change, kind of like most other professions, I guess, in the internet age. But I think it all began before that with the advent of managed care coming in like a storm here in the United States and in other countries that have already moved over to socialized medicine kinds of models. And so as a consequence of being smack in the middle of such career transition, people who went in 20, 30 years ago to a field with one fairly clearly established notion of what the practice might look like have seen it change so dramatically that sometimes it's not even recognizable anymore. And we'll hear stories of people advising new persons not to consider the medical field and such. And of course, we wouldn't want to encourage that in any way, shape, or form, but that does underscore why many people who are making their living in the medical professions or are looking at doing so are working with coaches. They are hiring them just like any other professional would hire a private coach to help them address the things that they desire and operationalize the visions that they have, the dreams, the goals, and longings. So on today's episode, we are going to explore some of these, I think, fairly surprising insights into the inner life of a person in the medical profession, some of the unique challenges that they face, some of the issues like burnout that have to be addressed, some of the dreams that they might harbor about establishing maybe boutique practices or making contracting changes and career transitions and all. So Kim, why don't you introduce our guest today?
I would love to, Chris. I've had the privilege of knowing Dr. Ann Sen for almost a year now, and I'm so impressed with the work she does. Ann is a board-certified internist, a physician life and leadership coach, a licensed coaching trainer, and a founding member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, CMDA, Life and Leadership Coaching Program. She is also an associate certified coach and a licensed coaching trainer with the International Coach Federation. Ann currently practices part-time at a faith-based charity clinic where she uses coaching to help the patients improve their health outcomes. Along with her husband, she has two young adult children, and she's passionate about helping healthcare professionals align with God, optimize their well-being, and maximize their influence through the ministry of coaching and coach training. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's really fun being with you guys.
It is fun to have you here because I have to say I'm much more frequently a patient on the other side of the doctor-patient relationship than I am on your side of the lab coat. And so I have tons of coaching curiosity and I can't wait to dig into this. But even just to set this up for our listeners today, as a practicing physician, how did you get interested in coaching?
Well, coaching came to me. I heard about a one-day seminar on coaching for physicians through the Christian Medical Dental Association about 7 years ago. There was one pastor who had been coaching some physicians and thought he would expose some of us to what that looked like. And I had for many years, along with my husband, done a lot of mentoring and discipling and ministry, as well as teaching and precepting of medical students. We had hosted the Christian medical student group in our home for many years for dinner and meetings. In my clinic, I'd done a lot of work with students, and I had met one-on-one with a lot of female medical students, some of whom even came to me and said, "Would you mentor me?" And so as I sat and listened to this presentation on coaching, not even knowing didn't have the slightest idea of what it was when I went there, I felt like I had to pick my job off the floor because I felt like this was a new way of listening and interacting with people that had incredible potential for actually really helping them. I had begun to get a little restless with the whole mentoring model, even though I think it has a wonderful role and place still. I felt like it was sort of all I had in my toolbox. And was a little bit tired of the fact that there was a little too much focus on me, on them looking to me for my experience and expertise and being further down the road in life and career than they were. And just had been scratching my head, how could I, help them in a way that's really about them? So that was kind of my first introductions. And then the other thing that caught my attention was their explanation that coaching was a certifiable profession. which as a physician, that's always a little attractive. It's like, oh, this is legit. And I just tucked away this little idea and dream, wow, maybe someday I could do that. And it would be a great transition into my retirement years. Great way to continue to influence and people, impact people way beyond the time when I would actually be practicing medicine. So I started practicing with medical students, and eventually that led to getting more advanced training because I realized I really needed it.
I love that. And it's interesting how your experience not only mimics my own, but that of so many others. I know as a therapist and a mentor and a discipler and a Bible study teacher, I still felt like I was teaching, training, modeling people to be like me. And they weren't very good at being me. Imagine that. And so I knew that there was a better way. I didn't know what it was or where it was, but I knew there was a missing link. And coaching mm-hmm. does indeed fulfill that link in a very professional and long-term sustainable mm-hmm. way. Something interesting. One of the things I noticed in my own life was I went into it so I could be a better people helper. I could serve and love in a better way. And as often, God had a slightly different idea in mind. It does indeed equip me to help people in a more robust way, but has also changed me personally. And I'm curious to know about, as you became more aware of coaching and started taking training in coaching, what kind of personal impact it may have had in your own life?
It's a great question, because I didn't really expect that, but boy, I just can't even hardly describe what becoming a coach has done for me. As I tell a couple friends who are going through coach training right now, and I told them, you're not going to learn to do something. You're going to become someone through coaching. You're really going to have an inner transformation in how what you believe about people in general. So, you know, just to bullet point some of them, maybe I would say it's made me less judgmental and evaluative. It's helped, you know, they say you can't really self-coach, but, you know, you do gain a lot of benefit from learning to coach, and you do learn a lot of self-awareness. You learn to sort of manage your own self and goals and be more intentional and proactive in your own life. And another thing I would say, it's sort of not fair, and I'm sure most coaches feel this way, that we get to learn so much from our clients. I get tools. I just learn from their journeys. The other thing I would say is that it's just brought a lot of maybe calm and peace to my life, because that skill of learning to be really present with people. I love nothing more than those moments that I'm actually coaching people, because it's just a beautiful thing to get out of your headspace sort of and just really be fully present. So I could go on, but those are some of the many ways. One other one that has been totally a surprise to me is that I feel so much more comfortable in any unknown social situation now. Because I feel like I have this secret tool in my pocket. When I meet new people, I don't have to worry about sounding smart or what I'm going to say, because I can show up with my presence and with listening and asking good questions. So that's been fun.
Yeah, boy, I love everything you just said there, Anne. And you heard me respond so strongly when you started out by saying that it's not just that you're going to learn to do some new things, it's that your whole being is going to be impacted. And I would add a caveat there, or you're not going to be a very good coach. Really, you know, it's not like in mentoring where they say, well, you can't mentor somebody where you haven't already gone. Well, no, all of us are just on the journey of life. It's not an arrival or a destination kind of place at all. But when we're coaching, they used to tell us back in therapy, you know, you don't go into therapy to do your own work through other people. And that's very true. We need to do our own work with our own therapist. But every therapist who's sitting with a person in a therapy session knows that as they're listening to their client wrestle through something, it triggers awarenesses of things that we need to address in our own lives. And the same is absolutely true for every coach. When you get the privilege of walking so closely with other people in their visions and passions and longings and struggles and insecurities and facing their fears and everything else, you stay tuned into them and your focus is rightly on them and calling out who they're created to. And it holds up a mirror to you and says, so where am I with that same stuff? And so it really is a call to us to continue and really to step up in most cases, our own personal growth processes or our transformation in Christ, this new creature. So, okay, well, let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty of your coaching specializations. Kim and I have talked on this podcast many times about niches. What are your primary niches as a Christian coach who works with medical professionals?
You know, I would say women medical professionals, and that ends up being mostly women physicians. I have coached some PAs, nurse practitioners, even a speech pathologist recently who is a professor at a university. So I think my heart and my passion is for women physicians.
So you had mentioned earlier your connection with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. So it might be a female dentist or an orthodontist or some such person. But I think for many of our listeners, perhaps especially if they're not already in the medical profession themselves, they might have a question at this point saying, well, okay, so I understand that those people are using coaches, but why? I can't imagine why somebody in a position of relatively highly educated, established authority like that might be needing a coach. What do you say to that? Why are they hiring coaches?
Well, the first piece is obviously that medical professionals are human too. And they have a lot of the same needs that all the rest of us have. And what's interesting is they don't always realize they're human until maybe the heat goes up in their life and things begin to get a little rocky and they have to realize that they're human too. But burnout would be another huge piece, the increasing rate of burnout. Lives out of balance. You know, physicians tend to be fairly passionate, intense people with abilities to do lots of things and a desire to do lots of things and a desire to do well at them, which creates a lot of competing demands on their relationships and their goals and dreams. You know, as you mentioned in the introduction, the medical profession has changed dramatically and the rate at which change is happening there as well as in the rest of the world is increasing. And so increasing needs for help with career decisions, navigating change and transition. Many physicians now are becoming employed, which is a whole different model than running your own practice.
Yes.
and adds all kinds of things. Many physicians get thrust into leadership positions with no training in how to be a good leader. So they need help with that. There's communication skills, relationship skills. Many of us, I will say, in the medical profession have intense personalities and have maybe not majored on communication skills. And so it's helpful to maybe get some feedback that we need help with that. And I think many physicians really desire to integrate their faith in their practice, to really understand their call and how do I live out this call both in professionally and in my personal life.
I think what I hear you saying, Anne, is they have these multifaceted work lives and home, personal, spiritual, emotional lives. And so like everyone, they can benefit from having a coach. I also have a guess that physicians and other medical professionals, they're often in a public position, a position of authority, definitely a position of respect. And so back to that kind of behind the scenes view, my guess is they do have some specific unique challenges that perhaps they're not allowed to talk about in public with other people too. So if I were to sit at a table with you and a group of medical professionals and nobody was putting on any facade, what kind of challenges would be coming up in that discussion?
Wow. Yeah, that's a powerful question. I think if it was a very safe and vulnerable space, obviously one of the things that would come up would be the constant oversight and magnifying glass in some ways put on a physician's performance, which has honestly just ballooned with the development of the electronic medical record. Now they're asking doctors to click on a ridiculous number of boxes and items and do things that they don't really need a medical degree to do, that an assistant could do, but they're requiring that physicians do them. And there are all kinds of stakeholders watching to see if they're checking all the boxes and slapping hands if they don't, or even if they don't complete their charts on time. There are people hovering and saying, why were you completing your charts at 11 p.m. at home at night? And they're wondering the same thing, but they can't, they're doing the best they can. They're finding that their personal time with their family and recovery time and downtime and vacation times are being eaten up just trying to complete these charts. And it's so incredibly discouraging. They feel like they can't get ahead. But some of the other places that are unique would be the threat of malpractice. The fear of making mistake is huge for every physician. And the rate of malpractice cases being brought up against physicians is fairly high. And no matter whether it eventually gets dropped, which the majority of them do, because there isn't enough of a case, the emotional toll on a physician is, it's huge. Another thing that's interesting that I've heard from physicians is this general decline in how people view physicians. I recently heard of a Christian woman physician who was in a mom's group and was exposed to a doctor bashing conversation session, which was hard. And so, you know, feeling like they are pouring themselves out with full of dedication, both professionally and with their families. And to hear things like that, so they have the pressure of patient evaluations now, which are really big online, and not everyone's very nice, even, you know, and it may have no reflection on how good the doctor actually is, as well as your employer always wanting more of you, your family always wanting more of you. And then sometimes women professionals, maybe outside of medicine as well, feel this in the church. Can feel like they're really following God's call on their life and trying to balance family and home, but feeling kind of judgment for the fact that they're not home full time with their kids. So feeling like they don't really have a safe place to fit in.
Wow. That just sounds like living in a pressure cooker 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, 7 days a week, at work and at home. And I don't know if there's a way you can do this anonymously, but can you give us just a personal glimpse of how that's impacting them, how they're wearing all that stress and what it's doing to them?
Well, I had one client that I was coaching who, got to work at before 8 a.m., probably 7 a.m. or earlier each day, worked hard for her patients, was very dedicated to the long-term relationship. She was in primary care. She would come home late for dinner, then spend the entire evening up until midnight completing her electronic charts. Most weekends were completely full of this kind of thing, in addition to all the other roles in life she was trying to complete with and do well with her elderly parents, launching her children, meeting the needs of her husband. And whenever she went on vacation, she said that she would spend the first few days of the vacation catching up on her electronic charts. Needless to say, the joy had gone out of her life.
Well, and that paints a picture of why somebody would certainly want to hire a coach. It's a place of tremendous pain. And of course, we're always clear to differentiate coaching from counseling. I know that one of the colleagues that Kim and I are close to in a mastermind group of ours is a coach, and he specializes in just that kind of thing. In fact, he goes by the name of Dr. Burnout. His name is, he's a physician himself, Dr. Clark Gaither, and he targets his clientele by putting that name right on the front of it. Now, I'm not going to be coming along if you're in an active addiction right now. That's more for counseling or a 12-step recovery program or inpatient or whatever. But if you're living that kind of a grind and you recognize, I can't keep this up. Obviously, I don't want to keep this up, but I can't keep this up and burnout is staring me in the face, then yeah, that's a place where a coach steps in. So let's expand beyond that. And as you have positioned yourself as a coach now in the marketplace, pursuing your ICF certification as you did and securing that and building your private practice here, how have you gotten in touch with the needs of your niche clientele, the people you're trying to reach? How do they learn of you? How do they find out what you have to offer?
I am, like I said, involved with the Christian Medical Dental Association, which has a wonderful ministry with a whole women's section of that, because the needs of women physicians tend to be just a little bit different than the general, you know, population. And so they have an annual conference, which I've been involved with. And so when I became a coach, one of my first explorations of, Lord, what do you want to do with this in my life, after I'd been coaching people kind of in my circle of influence for about a year, was, Lord, are women physicians, women healthcare professionals where you're taking me? And so I offered to do a workshop at their annual conference just to learn to teach people about coaching. And then I offered during the free time to do a bunch of sample coaching sessions. And boy, I got an education. Number one, about 30 people signed up for those, which put me into a hyperventilation. But, you know, the Lord worked it all out, and we didn't meet with all of them right there. But right. I learned so much about where, what their needs and struggles and heart were. And so I continue to be involved in those annual conferences, and I have really awesome conversations with amazing women physicians who are pursuing God and His call in their life through medicine and in their personal life. And I get to hear a lot about their challenges. But another really interesting area that probably some of your listeners have used is that I am part of some private Facebook groups. There is a national group called the Physicians Moms Group, which has grown to over 70,000 women physician moms. And many subgroups have spawned off of that. And I'm part of those groups. And I get to hear the longings, the deep struggles, and just to watch how people share those. And then a lot of advice flies back and forth, which is interesting for me as a coach to watch. And I sometimes cringe, but it's an opportunity to pray for those women for sure. I learn a lot by being part of those groups.
Beautiful. Okay. So that sounds like enough. That sounds like more than enough to just get your presence out there. I know you have a website, of course. We'll be referencing that at the end of the call here. But your presence on Facebook, being active in private groups like that, that target the niche you're trying to reach anyway, doing conference speaking like that, workshops, and then offering, maybe you modify the offering over time, but offering to meet with people individually and find out what is it that they're really wanting coaching about. There's nothing quite like pressing the flesh, as they say, or sitting kneecap to kneecap and being able to really make the individual connection. So women physicians then specifically, what is it about coaching women physicians that makes this such a passion for you?
Well, I think being one myself, I know, and interacting with so many of them, I see within women physicians this, they tend to be passionate women who are dedicated, who want to live life and invest themselves fully. They love science and medicine, and God's gifted them with the ability to understand those kinds of things easily. But they want to apply that to making a big difference in people's lives. And they tend to often have passions and drive in many areas of life, which is interesting. Many of them have come to me with a coaching topic of, how do I control my passions? You know, how do I narrow down and focus so I don't get overwhelmed with all the things I want to do in life? And they really long to be fulfilling God's call on their life, and yet they want to love their families well. And so I just love the drive and the vitality and the richness that women physicians bring. It's just such an incredibly incredible privilege to be invited on their journey with them and being a partner with them.
Wow, I can really hear your passion for them as a group, and I appreciate you sharing your heart with us. And I can definitely hear the need in the marketplace and in the profession of medicine for this. I still have some curiosity, though, because I know medical professionals are very much trained in what we would call a diagnostic model. Find what's wrong, speak into it, and fix it. So now here's Anne as a coach trying to explain to other physicians how coaching can benefit them. When that's got to be a whole mindset shift for them, how is it you explain the power and the benefits of coaching to other medical professionals?
I think that, as you know, and most of us coaches know, many people come into coaching with misinformation about what they think it actually is. And so that becomes a fun adventure, actually, to surprise them that rather than getting advice from me or coming to me as an expert, that my role will be to help them. I guess one of the metaphors I love to use is this idea of the millions of choices we have in a day and how we don't realize they're there. And so many physicians and people in, who are stressed and intense professions have been pushing and driving and just doing the next thing in front of them and not stopping and realizing they have a choice. In fact, they have hundreds of choices. And so first, I let them know that I help them kind of pick up and take ownership of the choices and the direction of their life again, and coming alongside them and drawing out of them what God's already put in, but maybe has been hidden, has been locked up, has been suppressed just in the desire to survive and make it in medicine. And really, when I just keep the focus on, it's really about helping you discover what you want, how God is calling you, maybe even rediscover where you started and get back to there, and coming alongside to help you actually reach the goals. And I like to emphasize, it's not just about having a great conversation and feeling good afterwards, but what attracted me to coaching was that it's really about actualizing, taking action and actually reaching the goals, actually having change, realizing your dream, not just feeling good after talking to someone.
That's so powerful, because we all feel trapped and stressed and closed in when we feel like there is no choice. Mm-hmm. And there is always, always a choice in every situation, even though we can't see it. And that is one of the places where coaching excels. So I love that leverage point with which you open their mindset.
What I find that many physicians are really stopped in their tracks when I ask them the question, what do you really want? And I've heard from more than one person, and they've answered that question with, I have no idea. I have been so busy jumping through the hoops and asking, how high do you want me to jump? Okay, I'll jump that high, to get to the next level, that they've stopped even being in touch with what they really want out of life. And so I love coming alongside them. And honestly, it's scary for them. And I think coaching really helps give them that support to have the courage to begin to ask the question, what do I really want? And what am I going to need to give up to get to that place? How do I actually get back to discovering what my true core values are? And how in the world do I take myself from where I am here and line my life up with those?
Boy, oh boy. And that's painful to listen to. And we're both nodding our heads, Kim and I, because we recognize immediately, yes, we have the clientele like that. We both coached physicians and we understand what that's about. It's hearkening me back to an interview that Kim and I did here on this show way back in the very beginning, probably one of our first 10 episodes or so. We interviewed Dr. Richard Swenson, the best-selling author of the books Margin, and The Overload Syndrome, and other books that have to do with particularly his unique bent as a physician himself, looking at the incredibly high burnout rate, divorce rate of alcoholism and substance abuse, and all other kinds of really disturbing, concerning statistics that tend to follow physicians. And again, we're kind of broadening beyond that to just those in the medical professions. So before we wrap up today, I think we have to have you address that. That is a part of what you're coaching people around, is catching them at the verge of that burnout, or perhaps already saying, I think I'm already there, or certainly one to be proactive in avoiding getting to that point. So can you just kind of walk us into some of those statistics maybe, and some of what you see when you're coaching physicians and medical professionals around burnout?
Yes. Yes, I focused a lot on burnout over the last couple of years, and there's been a lot of interest in the medical field and even nationally in the surprisingly alarming rate of increase in physician burnout. The latest study a couple of years ago was it's up to 54% of physicians meet the criteria for burnout. And, you know, we could do a whole podcast on burnout, but so just a couple of the key points about burnout is that it involves a reduced sense of personal accomplishment, a sense of futility, an exhaustion that just doesn't go away, a sense of depersonalization, leading to cynicism and detachment from others. All of these things are not good things to be happening in a physician's personal and professional life. And I think it's really helpful for them first to have someone identify it and legitimize it and even know what it is and be able to name it. Secondly, it's important, I think, that physicians understand that it's not a personal weakness. But I would say that probably 90% of them think that it is. Well, I must just need to work harder. I must just need to do more. It must be because I'm not fill in the blank enough. And the very interesting thing is a recent national consortium as a part of the National Academy of Medicine, which is part of the National Academy of Science, came together to start actually taking action to change all the external factors that are contributing to physician burnout, because the conversation has been really up till now making physicians feel in their hospitals and organizations like somehow burnout is their fault. And if they just went and took more yoga and mindfulness, et cetera, that they would do better. And now they're realizing that actually the major contributor to this rise in burnout is external factors in the field of medicine and how we're running it. So all that to say that as a coach, we're stacked up against a lot here with burnout, and the stakes are very high. The impact personally and professionally on someone's life is incredible. And so obviously coaching raises awareness, and awareness is power. When you're aware of where you're at on the burnout spectrum, it finally gives you the ability to begin to take action and do something about it. And as we talked about, it increases your ability to make choices. And sometimes those choices are hard and scary and take courage. And a coach is there to help support you through all of that.
Okay, so this may seem an odd connection here, but I'm flashing on an image, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there because hopefully it will resonate with you. The image that came to my mind is of a different profession entirely, and that of professional football, of all things. But I'm thinking of coaches there on the sidelines, but also those who've had to come along, because we've seen so much in the media recently about the high incidence of concussion and other related issues that go that are just an inherent occupational hazard for those who step onto a football field and don the uniform, right? When you're doing that to make a living, there are certain things that go with it. Now, that's a thing we can look at in terms of, okay, it's inherent with the profession, so what can we do to change their helmets and the construction of their pads and all to guard against the likelihood of concussion, maybe change some of the rules of what you get penalized for. And so, okay, so that feels a little more mechanical or a little more objective in terms of interventions. But that's the image I flashed on, because here we have a profession, i.e. physicians and just medical practitioners in general, with these really high, what you're saying now, are occupational hazards. I mean, these statistics go with this because of some of what's inherent in the way we're practicing medicine and the way the whole medical field now is run through what we oftentimes not so affectionately call mangled care, not managed care. Really some difficult challenges to try to make medicine happen in, let alone make a life happen in, a marriage happen in, right? Launch children within and still have time with them and all these kind of things. So can you step us into maybe a case example here, Anne? Somebody, put some flesh on some bones here, of somebody that you met in that space, you've worked with them. What do you do when you're coaching a physician around that occupational hazard of burnout?
Yeah. Well, one of my very first women in medicine that I coached sent me an email. She had been a medical student who I had mentored many years prior. And the email was titled, "Need Advice," which as a coach definitely piqued my attention. How am I going to show up here? And so we scheduled a phone call, and she basically poured out her story of having started with a vision and a sense that God called her into medicine to make it a ministry, shared practice with her physician, both primary care doctors, and had gotten to this place of complete burnout, was finding herself resenting her patients and ending her day completely depleted with no energy for her family, even though she worked part-time. and was just so discouraged and began to feel like, I guess I can't cut it. And they had started to interview nurse practitioners to replace her. Mm-hmm. And as she talked, I listened and probably asked a total of maybe 3 or 4 powerful questions that just stopped her in her tracks. And she came away from that call with some sense that, wow, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe I could stay in it if I thought about things differently, if I saw things differently. And so we set up a coaching relationship and began to meet, and her transformation was amazing. She began to realize there were thinking patterns and beliefs that were sucking the life out of her and causing her to see her patients differently. And as she began to change her thinking and how she approached things, and then built in some new tools to her day to use her team better, her joy returned, her sense of passion for ministry returned, and she now is in a thriving practice with her husband where they have a ministry to their staff and their patients, and she's happy and has energy for her home life. So powerful.
Very powerful. A beautiful story, and really a very upbeat and hopeful note for us to think about ending our time together today. I so appreciate you sharing so many things, how you became aware of coaching as a physician. As you said, a jaw-dropping moment. How it's mm-hmm. impacted you personally in who you are, not just what you do. Why physicians and other medical professionals need and would benefit from a coach. The stakes, as you said, are so high, and all the circumstances seem to be arrayed against them. But there is a space called coaching, where they could breathe and look at their dreams and desires and choices again. And so all of that, I hope, has tweaked our listeners' interest in this amazing field. As they've heard your heart and some of the things you've shared, my guess is some of our listeners would like to connect with you. And so let me go ahead and give that address on email and on the web, and then give you a chance to maybe share any wrap-up thoughts you may have. So you can connect with Ann at annzencoaching@gmail.com. That's Ann Zen, annzencoaching@gmail.com, or look her up on the web at annzencoaching.squarespace.com. Ann, any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, and that's Ann without an E, just to make sure you know that.
Thank you.
You know, I would say that maybe one of the key take-homes I would want people to take home is remembering that people in the medical profession are real people too. They're human beings who are following their passion and their call and dedicated. But in order for them to not continue to get depleted and fall into burnout, they need safe places to be real human people. And whether they're nurses or doctors or whatever on that spectrum, if you are rubbing shoulders with medical professionals in your social life, in your church life, you can do them a great service to not put them on a pedestal, to give them a safe place to be real and be human, to not ask them medical advice necessarily. Maybe if they're your real close friend and they've given you an open door to do that, that's fine. But just let them be real people and ask them, show up like a coach and maybe ask them some hard questions, give them some reflection back of what they're saying, and be a person who can show up in their life, give them a safe place to be. The impact you could have, don't underestimate it. I hear this from physicians. You could bring a sense of belonging and decrease their sense of isolation that would impact them personally, their family, and potentially even help keep them in medicine.
Those are good words, Ann. I know that for those who may be listening and are not physicians themselves, there's that piece of us that's generally experienced physicians as we're the patient and they're the physician. There's kind of this hierarchical thing that they're in an expert role and we're in the novice, or, you know, tell me what I should do kind of a role. And so being able to meet them as a coach feels like, oh, goodness, am I going to have to flip roles? And then I'm the expert. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not what the coach does. What a beautiful thing to say. Just take them off the pedestal, allow them to be real, come alongside of them, which is what we're privileged to do as coaches. We're not over them. They're not over us. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are walking alongside as real human beings to allow what needs to be said to be said and to be explored and to be acted upon. thank you so much for what you've shared here. I'm going to give your website address one more time, because you did point out there that we need to be sure that the spelling is correct. And it's a bit of an unusual name too, that last one there. So Ann Sen Coaching, it's A-N-N. Sen is T-S-E-N, coaching.squarespace.com. Would love to have our listeners visit you on the web. And again, Ann, just thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Gang, until next time, you know the mantra around here. You keep raising the standard of coaching and changing the world.
God's richest blessings to you.